So I'm going to be talking today about auxin and gibberellin and the effect of these two PGRs on apple development. So both of these PGRs have a number of applications in apple orchard management. One of the ways that they can be used is to improve apple fruit set. They can also be used to improve size and shape. And they do this by stimulating parthenocarpic development, which is development that is independent of fertilization. Parthenocarpic development is also useful in applications like trying to rescue flowers from frost damage. So flowers that have damage to their reproductive organs can still go on to produce normal-looking, although seedless, fruit if PGRs are applied to those. So there are a number of benefits to using PGRs when it comes to trying to get apples, but there are also a number of reports that indicate that there are some detrimental side effects that go along with the good. So in cultivars like Macintosh, Empire, and more recently in Honeycrisp, it's been shown that PGR-treated fruit have advanced ripening. So they're softer, they have a higher starch-to-sugar conversion, and they're also less acidic than pollinated controls. So our group was interested in looking at the effect of both gibberellin and auxin on apple development. We had a number of anticipated outcomes for this study, so we wanted to get a quantification of both retention and growth throughout development. We also wanted to characterize any changes to fruit quality that these PGRs might be causing. And then we wanted to take it a step further and use a molecular approach. So we also wanted to try to ID genes or gene pathways that were involved in any of these quality differences that we saw. We were hoping at the end we would be able to use this knowledge to try to come up with a strategy to try to increase the effectiveness of PGRs or to avoid these detrimental side effects. So we did a number of treatments. We applied everything to Honeycrisp apple flowers at balloon stage, so just prior to anthesis. And our treatments included GA3, which is gibberellic acid. We also used NAA, which is a synthetic auxin, and then we combined the two of them together. We also used NPA, which is an auxin transport blocker, and then we had three controls. So we had a negative control and then two pollinated controls, hand-pollinated and open-pollinated. All of these treatments, except for the open-pollinated control, were tented following treatment, and that was because we really wanted to isolate the effect of the PGR and not have to try to tease it apart from the effect of pollination. So looking at fruit retention and fruit size first, the graph on the left is looking at fruit retention, and the percentage of fruit retained is on the left, or the y-axis, and then the days that we did counts are on the bottom here. So we did counts every 2 weeks for 2 months, and then again at maturity. These gray lines here correspond to the two pollinated controls, so those retained the most fruit throughout development, which is to be expected. The white and the blue lines, this mouse is hard to use. The white and blue lines here correspond to the negative control and the NPA treatment, and they dropped their fruit the fastest. So by our second time point, they had almost no fruit left on the trees. And then the yellow and the orange line correspond to the two treatments that contained NAA, either by itself or in combination with GA3. And both of those retained fruit throughout development, but they were lost after that two-month time point. Sometime in between 2 months and maturity, they dropped their fruit. The only treatment that we used that actually caused parthenocarpic retention was GA3. So here at maturity, you can see that there were statistically more fruit than the negative control, but statistically less fruit than the pollinated control, so somewhere in the middle. If we take a look at fruit size here on the right, so again, the gray lines are the pollinated controls, and you can see this magenta line that is the GA3 treatment shows that GA3 had just as big of fruit as the pollinated controls throughout development. We were surprised to see the treatments with NAA actually seem to cause arrest of fruit development. So they're on the bottom there, and they didn't grow at all after we applied the treatment. So they actually arrested at the same size that they were when we applied the NAA. Okay, so at least in this study, GA3 by itself was the only PGR that caused parthenocarpic fruit development. And we showed that these fruit were parthenocarpic because we showed that they were seedless. So we quantified number of seeds at maturity. That's on the right there. You can see that the pollinated controls both had seeds. The GA fruit did not have seeds. And then these are just three time points, so early in development, about 18 days, 76 days, and then at maturity at about 131, 132 days. One of the major differences that we saw in the GA3-treated fruit, other than the fact that they're seedless, is that they have a different shape. So this is something that has been reported before, but the GA3-treated fruit appeared to be longer and thinner than the pollinated control. We looked at this in a little bit more detail. So we actually did not see a significant difference in fruit length. We did see a difference in fruit width. So GA3-treated fruit were thinner than either of the pollinated controls on average. And this actually turns out to be a difference in ovary width. So we saw a much thinner ovary in the GA3-treated fruit. The ovary, of course, is the structure that forms the core of the apple. We also looked at the hypanthium tissue, and we did not see a statistical difference in width of hypanthium. Hypanthium is the structure that's forming the rest of the flesh of the apple that we're interested in eating. So all of this difference that we're seeing in fruit shape appears to be just a difference in the ovary width that's causing that. We also looked at a number of quality parameters. So we did not see a difference in firmness. We also didn't see a difference in starch or sugar content. We did see a difference in pH. So it doesn't look like a large difference, but it is statistically significant. GA3-treated fruit were less acidic than pollinated controls. Okay, so now we have these two quality differences. We have this difference in the ovary shape, and we also have a difference in fruit acidity. And so we wanted to do a molecular approach to try to get at the genes involved in this. So we did an RNA-seq experiment, and RNA-seq is a technique to look at the expression of all genes in a specific sample. And for the sake of this talk, I'll talk about comparisons between two treatments, so GA3 and hand-pollinated, and then two time points. So we did early in development at 18 days. That's shortly after fertilization in apple. And then again at maturity. And we also dissected into different tissue types. So we used hypanthium, ovary, and ovule from each one of our fruits, except for the GA3-treated fruit at 132 days after treatment because there were no seeds in those fruits. So this is looking at some of that RNA-seq data. So here we're looking at differentially expressed genes, or DEGs, and it's split into tissue type again. So we have hypanthium, ovary, and ovule. And all of the DEGs are listed here on the left, and these heat maps are showing expression pattern differences. So red is highly expressed, blue is low expressed. And what this analysis is doing is it's trying to cluster the reps here based on the expression pattern differences. And you can see in hypanthium, we had 412 DEGs in between GA3-treated and hand-pollinated hypanthium at 18 days. And there isn't really a clear-cut expression pattern difference. So actually, the program had a hard time. It actually nested one of the hand-pollinated samples in with the GA3s. When we look at the ovary tissue, it's a little bit different. So now we have 958 DEGs, and there's a much more clear-cut pattern. There's a much clearer difference in between hand-pollinated and GA3. The ovule is even more drastic, so now we have over 8,000 DEGs. And again, there's a clear-cut pattern between those two treatments. So when we look at the RNA-seq data in this kind of big-picture way, it's nice because it correlates with the morphology that we're seeing. So again, hypanthium, it doesn't really have a clear-cut expression pattern difference, and we also don't see much of a morphological difference between our hypanthiums. They seem to be the same width in GA3 in hand-pollinated-treated fruit. The ovary, we do see a difference, so it's much thinner in GA3-treated. And then we expect ovule to be different because even though there is ovule tissue in GA3-treated fruit at this stage, it hasn't been pollinated, so there's no developing embryo inside of there. So again, we're interested in looking at the difference in the ovary width, so we focused on this set of DEGs. We looked first at the DEGs that were upregulated in the hand-pollinated ovary compared to the thinner GA3-treated ovary. And we did a MATMAN analysis. So this is looking at gene pathways that are enriched in that set of DEGs. One was particularly interesting, so we looked at the cell division pathway more closely. And we pulled out the four genes from that pathway. So those are on the top here. They're expressed higher in hand-pollinated than in GA3-treated. When we look at these genes, three of them turn out to be activators of the anaphase promoting complex. One of them was particularly interesting. So this apple cyclin-dependent kinase 2-1 has been shown to be associated with apple fruit cell division. Just for fun, we also pulled out genes from the cell division pathway that are expressed higher in GA3 compared to hand-pollinated, and here we see kind of the opposite. So now we have an interesting gene that is a cyclin that is involved in inhibiting apple fruit cell division. So it looks like cell division is really involved in the difference that we're seeing in this ovary width. We also looked at genes that are upregulated in the thinner GA3-treated ovary and did a MATMAN analysis on those. The most interesting, or one of the interesting pathways that we saw here was hormone metabolism. So the hormone metabolism genes turned out to all be cytokinin metabolism genes. Cytokinin is another PGR that stimulates cell division. Two of them were cytokinin oxidase dehydrogenase genes, which is involved in the degradation of cytokinin. And four of them are UDP glucosyl transferases, which are involved in the sequestration of cytokinin. So this looks like degradation and sequestration of cytokinin is actually going to be higher in the GA3-treated ovary. So it looks like not only is cell division involved, it's very likely that cytokinin is also playing a role in the difference that we're seeing in the width of this ovary. So we were also interested in looking at acidity. And we used our RNA-seq data set to look at genes involved in acidity, but we took a different approach. So here we used more of a candidate gene approach. We know that MA1 is a gene that's been shown to correlate with apple acidity. So when it's expressed low, you have a lower acidity. And we looked at the expression at both early and late time points. And we saw that in ovary and ovule, we have less expression of MA1 that correlates with less acidity in that apple. But we actually tested the acidity of the apple at maturity, so 132 days. So this indicates that maybe that difference in acidity doesn't have so much to do with the difference in ripening, but is actually something that's being set up much earlier in development. So to conclude, in our experiment, we found that GA3 by itself caused the development of parthenocarpic apples. The GA3-treated apples were thinner and less acidic than the hand-pollinated controls, but they were the same in all of the other quality parameters that we looked at. And we think that there are expression differences in cell division and also cytokinin degradation sequestration genes that are involved in making these GA3-treated ovaries thinner. And we think it's likely that expression differences in the acidity gene MA1 is likely responsible for the changes that we see in the pH. So with that, I'm done, and I think I have time to take any questions. Yep.
Did you notice any treatment effects on bitter pickles? Specifically, NPA, I'm interested in NPA.
So the NPA fruit probably dropped off before you would see any bitter pit because they abscised almost immediately. We did not look at bitter pit in our other treatments. GA3 was the one that hung on to maturity. We didn't quantify that. Just thinking about what they look like qualitatively, I didn't see a difference. Yeah, we didn't do it. We didn't quantify acid in any way other than the pH. And I do have to say that the difference in pH, I mean, they're very close, right? I don't know. Everybody always asks me if I tasted the apples. I didn't. But I don't know that you would be able to taste the difference with a difference that low.
Yeah.